All right, hopefully this thing's working okay. All right, thank you, Greg. Appreciate your presence, as has been mentioned. Thankful for those who are visiting with us. We're thankful that Steve can be here this evening, and be more thankful if he was here where I'm at, but we appreciate the opportunity to break the bread of life, to study from God's Word for just a little while, and thankful to the elders for allowing me to have this moment with you. You'll please be patient with me. This will be the first time that I've tried this. You can see our topic tonight is, why do we suffer afflictions? We've had a rough year. This has been 2012 that we've had a lot of difficult times. And one of the other questions that we ask is, what causes us afflictions in this life? Sometimes we wonder about those things because we think that, well, why would we have afflictions? We're striving to do what's right. And it doesn't seem right that if we're trying to do what's right that we would have afflictions. Some things that cause afflictions as we grow up. We have school that we start with from a young person, and we grow a little bit older, and we may have some friends that cause us to do wrong, cause us to bring afflictions on ourselves, perhaps get in the wrong crowd, perhaps have those that are supposed to be members of the church that we are with that steer us wrong. So we have to know God's Word in order to stay strong and to be what we should be as Christians. Other things that could happen to us is our families. Sometimes our families have brought on difficulties to us. Sometimes it's a rough life that we have because of our families, because of not wanting to do God's will, and that has an influence on us also. And if we're not careful, that could also push us to doing the wrong things. Another thing is our jobs. We have peer pressures when we're young, when we're in school. That doesn't end at school. Peer pressures happen all through our lives. When we're at work, we have peer pressures. So we have to be very, very mindful of that. Problems with our jobs sometimes can cause financial trouble. 2.5 years ago, I never would have thought that we'd be changing jobs, but that changed. So we made a difference. We made a change what we were doing. And it wasn't a welcome change, but it was something we had to do. So things that we sometimes don't have control over will cause an effect on us and our families. It will cause some afflictions that we did not expect to have happen. Also, we have problems with our health that comes up. And with these problems, again, we're thinking that, wow, how can this happen? We've got, we're healthy 1 year, and then the next year we have problems come up. And so, something we just don't understand. Why would we have afflictions of health? Sometimes the sickness of loved ones. Maybe it's not you. Maybe it's your husband or wife. Maybe it's your child. Maybe a grandparent that has problems with their health. And it's difficult to understand and try to overcome that. Sometimes it's death of loved ones that happen. Again, we have all kind of different afflictions that can cause us to do wrong if we allow it to. We want to look at some scripture right now. And if you turn to Matthew chapter 5, and I intentionally did not put the scriptures on the screens tonight, I want you to open your Bibles and follow along with me or use your devices. I'm afraid one day when we all have devices and we don't have the Bibles anymore that maybe they have an app for the turning of pages when you turn to scriptures and those are coming up. But Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is speaking here in verse 43. We'll start. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Verse 45 is what we want to notice. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. So all are afflicted. It's not something that just we're worried about, you know, sometimes maybe just the way I live will keep me away from these afflictions. And some afflictions you'll be away from if you make right decisions, but will not be away from all afflictions. And also, we as saints are striving to do what's right. We look at Acts chapter 14. We can expect some. We can expect afflictions. In Acts chapter 14, verses 21 and 22, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples and returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. It's not something that's going to be given to us, and it's not something that's going to be easy at times. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Notice verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy, inexpressible and full of glory. And what is the result? Receiving, verse 9, the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So these afflictions will be temporary. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Jesus understood this. He understood afflictions. He understood that we were going to have them. He understood his apostles were going to have them. Turn to Psalm chapter 126, please. In verses 5 and 6 there, it says, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. This life may be difficult for us, but if we strive to do what's right, we'll reap in joy. Let's talk about some examples. I don't have a whole lot of examples. I've got a couple. There's many that's listed in the Bible, those who were afflicted. Let's start, and we'll spend a lot of time here in the book of Job. So if you'll turn to Job chapter 1, we'll start there in verse 1. Some things we find out about Job, and many of us know this already, but I thought it would be good to remind us of what Job went through and afflictions that he had to deal with. And Job didn't know why. He was a blameless man, upright. He feared God. He shunned evil. Could he not have said, well, I follow God. I do his word. Why are these things happening to me? He had a lot of possessions. And it was written that he was the greatest of all people of the East. I believe that's in verse 3. This wasn't just a man. This is somebody who had a lot of possessions, a lot of things. He had 10 children, mentioned in verse 2. He had a lot of cattle, a lot of animals, a lot of possessions. Then we find that Satan enters the picture here in verse 7. It says, and the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. God asks, have you considered my servant Job? Job made an impression that we're to make. We're to strive to do what's right. And as we'll see, not just during good times, but during difficult times. Satan gives God a challenge, verse 11. Now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, he'll surely curse you now. God allows this to happen. We're going to call this phase one. Because this is where it begins at. Job unexpectedly starts to have to deal with the loss of things. So verse 12, and the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay a hand on him. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Starts in verse 14. We've had difficult times. Let's see what Job went through. Verse 14 says, and a messenger came to Job and said that the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabaeans raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. There goes some of my prophets. That's my job. While he was yet speaking, verse 16, while he was still speaking, another came to him and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Verse 17, while he was still speaking, another also came to him and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels and took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. There's three. Verse 18, while he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And suddenly, a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Sometimes one thing is difficult for us. He's been hit by four. And it wasn't just a child dying. 10 at one time. We talked this morning about, Steve mentioned folks in Connecticut, 20 children. These were 10 children of all the same man. Gone. He's got death of loved ones. His job, financial loss, Job's experiencing. Is it time to blame God? You know, one of the guys that came and told him about this, verse 16, you remember what he said? Verse 16 says, while he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep. It was God's fault. Do we do that today? I've heard that. How could God let something like this happen? I thought he was a loving God. Have you heard that? If he is so righteous, why would he let all these kids die? That's the way the world thinks. They think very clearly that God is all loving, and that's all he is. Something good happens, we praise God. Something bad happens, we blame God. That's the way the world thinks. What was Job's reaction? Verse 20, Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell to the ground and cursed God. Fell to the ground and worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong. Can we learn something from this? That didn't work for Satan. We go into chapter 2 now. Time for phase 2. Phase 1 didn't work. Same thing happens. Verses 1 and 2. Satan, where you been? He answered the Lord and said, going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Verse 3. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Well, he knows who Job is, doesn't he? He just brought all this tragedy onto him. You see what God says next? There is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil, and he still holds fast to his integrity. Although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. Job still has his integrity. We need to think about our integrity. There's a challenge again. Now Satan wants to go for his physical body. Skin for skin, it says. You allow me to touch him. You allow me to give him pain. And he'll curse you. God says, I'm going to allow you to do that. Just don't kill him. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils. Verse 7. From the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. They don't leave any open place, does it? Verse 8, and he took for himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the middle of the ashes. He's made a judgment call. He's got to do something to get some relief. His wife gives him the judgment. Job, I tell you what to do. Curse God and die. It appears you're going to die anyway. And this God of yours is not helping you any. Curse God and die. Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Verse 10, he says, "Till you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. That was Job's decision. Then we have his three friends coming. Chapter 3, Job curses the day he died, or he was born, I'm sorry. And we feel that way sometimes when we're feeling really bad. Oh, I wish I'd never been born. You ever felt that way? Wish I'd never been born. Boy, this is rough. So Job is in pain. His friends come to visit with him. He's in so much pain and had so much difficulty, they don't know who he is. They don't recognize him. It's so bad. They, at the end of chapter 2, they raised their eyes from afar and did not recognize him. They lifted up their voices and wept. Each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head toward heaven. So they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was great. New King James says, very great. Then Eliphaz begins discussion. His other two friends. And this goes on where they're having their human reasoning and their discussions and their arguments about why he's having this happen to him. And this goes on for many chapters, through chapter 37. Once we get to chapter 37, and we can't go through all that because of the sake of time, but a couple of chapters, Job asked to speak to God. Chapter 38 through chapter 41, God speaks with him. He answers Job on some of the questions he's got concerns with. He gives him some basic information, maybe a prelude to Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts than your thoughts, my ways than your ways. Maybe it's a prelude. In chapter 42, Job responds. And I think Job gets it. A better understanding. Verse 3 says, "You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, verse 6, I abhor myself." And what does he do? "And repent in dust and ashes." God's pleased with Job. Verse 7 says, And so it was after the Lord had spoken these things to Job that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "My wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, and my servant Job has. Now therefore," verse 8, "take yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams, go to my servant Job." Oh, that had to be hard. They were just telling Job how wrong he was. "Go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job will pray for you. For I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken to me what is right." And again he says, "as my servant Job has." So he's to pray for his friends. And sometimes we bring on our afflictions ourselves. We look at the very first sin in Genesis. We can see that happen. Not without a little help, though. Chapter 2, Adam is told. Verse 16 starting, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." We allow our desires to fall for temptations that Satan set before us. We're going to get afflictions. There'll be recompense. Where was Satan in Job chapter 1 and 2? What do we read there? Going to and fro on the earth, walking back and forth on it. Has that stopped? What does 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 say? "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Hadn't stopped, has it? In Genesis 2, God puts his law in place. Genesis 3, Satan changes God's law and makes it desirable to disobey. Now, Eve wasn't there when God gave that command. Eve was made after that, if you look back in chapter 2. But we know that Eve knew what the law was. She was the one that stated it to the serpent. So she knew what the law was. Adam and Eve commits the first sin. The punishment is given. It's given not only to the man, not only to the woman, but to the serpent. Does this affect everyone? It affected all of mankind. Sin is now in the world. Look at some conclusions here. We see, and we've talked about, does it really matter what kind of life I live? In Acts chapter 24, we'll notice a few verses there. Starting in verse 10, then Paul, after the governor had nodded to him to speak, answered, "Inasmuch as I know that you have been for many years a judge of this nation, I do more cheerfully answer for myself, because you may ascertain that it is no more than 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with anyone or inciting the crowd, either in the synagogues or in the city. Nor can they prove the things of which they now accuse me. But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing in all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. I have hope in God, which themselves also accept." Here's our notice. "That there will be a resurrection of the dead, both the just and the unjust." We said it didn't matter. We're going to get afflictions. It's not going to matter in the end unless we live what, according to God's word, because both the just and the unjust are going to be judged. So there's nothing we can do to escape that. Judgment will be done. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. "Do we look or plan ahead or dwell on the past? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." We may have it difficult for a while here on this earth, but it's not going to compare what we got waiting for us. We live according to God's word. 2 Corinthians 4. How do we look at the afflictions in our lives? Starting in verse 16. "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Our light affliction, verse 17 says, which is but for a moment. First thing that came to my mind was the scripture. What is our life? It is even as a vapor. How do we react? We saw how Job react. Let's look at James chapter 5. Starting in verse 7. "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit on the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job, and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." What happened to Job at the end? We remember? He was given more than he had before. God allowed that to happen too. First Peter chapter 4, a few pages over. Do we think about counting afflictions for Christ as joy? Verse 12 says, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part He is blasphemed, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God, and if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good, as to a faithful Creator. And we know that God is our faithful Creator. Titus 1, verse 2, cannot lie. That's His nature. Look to some examples tonight, and we can look at some other ones in the Bible. What is the common denominator there for these afflictions? What was the common denominator between Job and Adam and Eve and their sins? Some would say that was God. He was there. Is God walking around us like a roaring lion, seeking to whom He may devour? It's not God. It's Satan that did this. East Side has had many members afflicted this year. What are our reactions and our decisions? Let us commit to being more faithful, stronger, patient, able to endure, and obeying God to our fullest extent. Perhaps this evening you're here and you've let the troubles of this world get you down. I appreciate James leading that song for us. Are you weighed down? James chapter 5, one more time. Let's read verses 15 and 16. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Perhaps you decided to follow your own desires for a while. You decided, yeah, maybe Satan's right. Maybe that would be more of my liking. Being in an unsaved condition, you again, remember, will have to answer. Can't get out of that. You'll have to answer for yourself. You can't stand behind your wife. You can't stand behind your parents. You will be there on your own, saying, yes, I obeyed thee, or I'm sorry, I didn't. You'll either get a welcome home, or you'll get a depart from me, I never knew you. In 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, a lot of times people will hold back from becoming a Christian because they feel they can't lead the life that they need to lead. They can't lead a sinless life. Let's read what John says in chapter 1, verse starting in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Verse 1 of chapter 2, My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We're going to lead a sinless life? No. That's not guaranteed. Are we going to strive not to commit sin, as written here? Yes. With all our will. Will we fall every once in a while? That will happen. It's happened before, and it'll happen. Sometimes it's something we don't plan on. But we do our best to strive to do what's right. What's the difference? You're sitting there thinking, well, I'm not going to be a Christian because I can't lead a sinless life. I'm going to go along like I am. The difference is that those who have obeyed God have an advocate with the Father. We have someone to plead our case to God, our Savior. That's the difference. Without Jesus, we're nothing. If we decide to shun God, we're lost. Perhaps you're here tonight and have not obeyed God's word. I hope we've said something that will make you think. It doesn't matter to me whether you're young or old. It doesn't matter to this congregation whether you're young or old. What matters is you obey God. Not here to say obey me. Not here to say obey these elders. You got to do exactly what they say and above and beyond what God says. Nobody says that. We all strive to obey God's word. So you, if you have not obeyed, turn to Romans chapter 10. And even if you have, it'd be a good refresher. Romans chapter 10, we're told what to hear. Verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not a doctrine of men. The word of God. Verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in Him and believe in with your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We're to hear. We are to believe. We're to have faith. We're to confess our faith. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, well known. Peter answered and said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We're to repent. We're to be baptized. Then what? Revelation 2:10, at the end of that verse, and we can read the whole verse because it actually has some dealings with those who are suffering afflictions back then. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you in prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Again, if we're hung up on whether I'll commit a sin or not after I get in a saved condition, it doesn't say, be sinless, then you'll receive a crown of life. And that does not diminish our trying to be perfect, trying to do what's right. If you're subject to heaven's call, what God has told us to do, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing.